back together again, you and I chatting it up Tuesday, January 28th style, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. I looked at a brand new study pinning a possible expansion of the Husky healthcare program for migrants at maybe $250 million. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio stopped by to chat about the state employee union negotiations for a 2027 contract renewal.
Well, the tab is going to be at least $250 million. That's 250,000,000. $250 million, $250 million. What am I talking about? Well, somebody's run the numbers, and Governor Lamont said it the other day. He's telling migrants, immigrants, undocumenteds, whatever, you're welcome here. Okay, I guess. Well, apparently they're running the welcome mat numbers here in Connecticut, and an expansion of Medicaid, in other words, to cover all medical costs for immigrants, migrants, undocumenteds, whatever you want to call them, $250 million. And they're right up front with this. So instead of tackling a problem, instead of putting Connecticut's brains and muscle behind figuring out what to do as a nation about the immigration situation, which is, again, top of news today, top of news nationally, causing a big freak out here in Connecticut for nothing at all that we know of, because they're obviously out looking for bad people, bad guys, bad gals. Instead of helping out this situation, we're hindering it, number one. And number two, we're going to say, well, you know, the heck with all these nonprofits that want money. The heck with some of these departments like DCF, Children and Families, that may be underfunded. Let's spend another quarter of $1 billion for immigrants to cover Husky healthcare costs. Now, again, if you listen to me at all, you know I've been consistent on this. When a child is hungry, when a child is hurting, when a child needs medical care, we don't take it out on them. I get it. I understand it. So please, save yourself the aggravation. Don't call me and say, well, you just hate brown kids. No, I don't. But what I want to know is, when do we say enough? That's the question. Nobody has the balls, excuse my French, to answer here. Figurative lady for you guys. Well, yeah. Expansion of Medicaid to cover immigrants will cost $250 million. When I went to school, that was $250 million. Excellent story here by Paul Hughes and the Republican American of Waterbury, expanding state Medicaid coverage to all currently ineligible immigrants in Connecticut could cost approximately $250 million. Where's that money coming from? In a state where we don't have enough housing for regular residents of Connecticut and of the U.S., in a state where all these school systems are clamoring, rightly so, that they need more money, in a state that wants to get more teachers, more paraprofessionals in the schools, and is looking at state aid for that, we're suddenly going to come up with $250 million. How? For this. Supporters of expanding eligibility for the Husky programs to all Connecticut residents, regardless of immigration status, are renewing their lobbying campaign of the Capitol. The State Department of Social Services, that's DSS, you probably heard that acronym earlier this month, submitted a study on the costs and benefits of expanding Husky coverage to the legislature's Appropriations and Human Services Committee. The study estimated, or a new study estimated, the cost of expanding Husky eligibility to cover all 16 to 25-year-olds. That's not kids. You get up to 25-year-old, that's 7 years into adulthood. Would cause increase enrollment by 6,400 and cost an extra $39 to $40 million. Okay. I guess costs would increase substantially when extending the coverage to all ages. So understand what they're contemplating is basically free medical care regardless of your immigration status. Hey, in the words of the late, great Johnny Olson, come on down. Costs would increase substantially when extending coverage to all ages. Depending on the scenario, the estimated cost could be $186 million, $203 million, or $252 million. Where's that money coming from? 233-333-9422-333-WICC. Now, maybe you're sympathetic to the plight of migrants. All of us are, to a point. But again, I ask a very simple question, and maybe it's never answered because it's a hard question. It's not easy. When do we say enough? Again, we're in a budget scenario where we're trying to pay off long-term debt. We're trying to keep taxes down. You know, and more importantly, we're having to say no to a lot of city-based and suburb-based charity groups who want more money from the state. But yet, you have the Democratic leadership in Hartford saying, hey, well, let's spend another $250 million on migrant health care. Now, I understand we don't want people to be sick. I get it. I understand it. I got that. But where's the line? Where's the stopping line? Now, Governor Ned Lamont sees this and he's not happy with it. The governor telling reporters Monday he will not be proposing to expand Husky coverage to any current ineligible immigrants when he recommends a new two-year budget plan to the General Assembly on February 5th. So looks like the governor is again facing off with the left wing of his party. But what do you think? Do you disagree with me here? Or do you disagree with the governor? A quarter of $1 billion, $250 million, ostensibly to broaden the Husky Medicaid program to those who are not citizens. Is that fair? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And ask a simple question. Where's the $250 million coming from? $150 million. Fair question. Oh, you're just fear-mongering, Paul. No, I'm not. I'm reading a really good story by one of the best reporters in the state here, Paul Hughes, from the Republican American of Waterbury. There are factions of the Democratic Party that want to expand Medicaid for immigrants even further. They did it once, and the cost came in, of course, higher than they thought. So now they're projecting. Now, thankfully, the governor's not on board with this just yet. He's a businessman. He sees this. He knows this is lunacy. He gets it. He understands it. $250 million is the estimate here. A provision in the two-year $51.1 billion state budget that we're already on directed DSS to prepare a study on expanding Husky to anybody between 16 and 25. So that covers adults, too. I mean, you say, you know, for young people, the catchphrase they always use is young people. No, when you're 25, you're not young. Who would otherwise qualify for coverage if not for their immigration status. So basically, we're going to continue to put out the welcome mat here in a state that already doesn't have enough housing, in a state that whose classrooms are already jammed, in a state that's got legitimate city-based or suburban-based charities saying, please, we need more money, and we're going to expand Husky? Why? Just put out the welcome mat. Costs on expanding Husky range now from $186 to $252 million. The $3.3 billion state Medicaid program is projected to be $290 million in the hole this fiscal year. Why? Because the number of immigrant kids enrolled in Husky following the increase to 15 was double the original projection. Enrollment was supposed to increase by 7,000, but guess what? Ding, 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 come on down, you're a winner. 15,000 kids enrolled. Folks, it's mind-boggling. And you know what's going to happen? I'm telling you this. Trust me on this. Here's what's going to happen. the red states are going to clamp down on immigration, and it will shove all the immigrants to the blue states. This is only going to get worse. And I don't know how you fix it, because you got the governor saying, come on down, doing his best Jimmy Olsen, Johnny Olsen. I should just say different Olsons there. Mrs. Olsen. Oh, God. It's lunacy. 203-333-9422. We begin the phone parade today. Jimmy in Stratford. Hello, Jimmy. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Paul? Couldn't agree with you anymore. Have you heard the latest? The Dems are in a tizzy because ICE is being sent to Latino neighborhoods.
Because they're looking for bad people, and they're arresting bad people, Jimmy. That's why.
99% of the illegals are Latinos. Come on. How dumb do you got to be to send them to a Polack neighborhood when they're mostly Spanish people?
You meant Polish, didn't you, when you said that?
Yashimash, baby. Yeah.
All right. Jimmy, thank you. Appreciate it. Oh, boy. I love this audience. I really do. Oh, man. Christian loves that especially. Francis in Stratford. Francis, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, thank God. But the thing is, it's not the welcome mat. It's the stupid mat.
Well?
No, you can't do it. What do you think all this is about? Stopping the immigration. I told you about the tuberculosis.
I
was talking about adults.
Yeah.
Kids are secondary. Adults first. They're going to get it there first. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad and friend and grandma, whoever the hell. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got to stop this. This is stupid.
Well, apparently, Francis, thank you. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, but we don't do that here in Connecticut. We put out the welcome mat, and again, understand what I say here, folks. I understand people need medical care. Don't call up and say, well, you want people to die in the street. No. But everything costs something. Everything costs something. So ultimately, the cost of this, because of a lack of, shall I say, testicular fortitude to deal with this, that's known as guglioni in my peoples, in my tribe. It's just people turn into ATMs because it's the patchwork, patch the wall, put in new carpeting, put in a new liner. Well, no, you got to stop the leak, and then you can stop doing the other stuff. Andy in Derby. Andy, good afternoon. How are you, pal?
Paruch, I just called and blasted the poor kid who answered Lamont's phone, but while I'm at it. Look, my grandparents, Slovak immigrants, I'm third immigration, came in legally. Yeah. They need to come in legally or they're illegal. Let him take them to his backyard in Greenwich if he loves them so much.
Well, no, here's the thing, though. It's weird, Andy.
I also called, because you're going to cut me off in a minute. I want to get this out. I also called Tong's office.
Yeah, what'd you say? What'd they say?
Lisa Wexler, and he spread misinformation.
Okay.
Nobody is losing Medicare. Nobody's losing Medicaid. He said that clearly, and it was repeated again on that, so-called news show at noon.
Mm-hmm.
That people are losing Medicaid. That's not true. These libs are going off half-cocked, getting people agitated, spreading misinformation. If they would only stop and listen to what Trump is trying to do, he's trying to stop the bleeding to save the country that they destroyed.
And
he needs to get on Lisa and do a retraction. Hey, I misspoke yesterday.
And Andy,
there's probably people running around.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, who is it? He said so. It was a lie. These people need to get their heads out of their craniorectal inversion and start to work with Trump so that we could get the country right on track. I don't want illegals in Connecticut.
Thank you, Andy. I love that. The cranial rectal inversion. Andy, is that patented? Cranial rectal inversion. Amidst all this talk about finding another $250 million for medical care for
undocumented migrants, and now another push to get rid of the automobile vehicle tax, which will never happen. We also have the state employees, a bargaining unit, CBAC, starting talks already on a new contract. And joining us right now, because she's poring over that, Megan Portfolio, Yankee Institute blogger. Check out the Hartford Portfolio. Megan, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm good. Copious hours this past week of CTN and sitting there and reading the legalese of many bills and spending documents. Is that what we're still doing?
Oh, yes. And I had way too much coffee today, so I'm, like, amped up.
You sounded. Honest to God, you came on, and I was like, wow, she sounds right. Oh, jeez.
It's this buck. I got this. It's called Bucked Up. It has, like, the logo had an American flag.
Yeah.
So I'm a big sucker for packaging.
Yeah.
And so I, being the good patriot, I bought it, and woo!
Okay, now, Megan, calm down. Take a deep breath. How many cups did we... Whew. How many cups did we have of this bucked up coffee?
Oh, well, that was just like an energy drink, but the regular coffee, many cups. You know what it is? I have a foster dog who insists on getting up really, really early.
You've told
and
me
it's been
this.
Really
yeah.
early this week.
Yeah, really? Wow. Okay. All right.
I can't say no to him. He's
no,
so
well, of course. CBAC, the bargaining coalition for the state employees. They're already looking now. Governor Lamont may not even be elected. He may not be in office in 2027, but they're already looking at a new contract renewal. What's going on here?
Yeah, so in June of 2027, their main contract is up, and that contract will dictate their retirement benefits and their health care benefits. So they're already, you know, at the negotiating table with some people in the administration. They kind of keep us taxpayers in the dark on this stuff, even though we do pay the bill. Mm-hmm. We have, like, no I can't FOIA any of this. I have no access to any of this. It kind of, like, gets done, and then we find out about it, which I'm not a big fan of, but I mean, I have so many battles to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, they're claiming that their benefits just are not keeping up with the cost of living. So I did a little digging in onto this statement, and I've talked about this before. The state employees, and not including the state police in this because they're not part of CBAC, since Lamont's been in office, they have received a compounded 33% raise. Now, us in the private sector nationally, the average is about 23-24%.
Okay.
So they're already ahead of the game. As a matter of fact, I had one disgruntled employee email me over the weekend telling me I'm making things up and I have a vendetta against the state employees. And he's only made like a 2.5% raise increase a year. So I'm like, dummy. I can literally go on openpayroll.gov and see how much money you make. And he literally, from 2019, when Lamont took office, he was making $77,000.
All right.
I'm not going to say his name, obviously.
No. Please don't. Please don't. No. Yeah.
So right now he's making $119,000.
And then he thought, wait a minute. He thought that was
this incorrectly.
He thought that
was
two.
I was wrong.
He thought that was 2%. Going from 77 large to how much? He went from 77 to what?
119,000. 119,095. So
wait a minute.
Over 50%.
Yeah. So wait a minute. That's 23.
So I was
wrong
in my article.
So he see now. God bless him. We don't take things that are offered to us if we don't want to, but most of us do. So he's gotten a 42%. It's $42,000 more.
Yes. And so he's telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Mm.
I'm spreading misinformation. And I'm like, dude. I'm not saying, like, you should turn down the raise
or anything.
No, of
course not.
No person would. But sometimes just take it and shut up.
You're right.
So we've established that they've already been doing a lot mm-hmm. better than us in the private sector. But they're not, I don't believe the raises are going to be in that contract. I believe it's just the health care and their pensions.
If
you look at the health care,
you had some interesting numbers too as far as what the real cost is for health care to state employees.
So state employees are paying 2% of their medical bills. 2%.
Not bad.
Nationally, state workers are paying 14%.
Really?
So to come at us taxpayers and say that your benefits aren't keeping, you guys are like the cream of the crop. So put it in perspective,
mm-hmm.
people that are on Obamacare, only 1.4% of the people could afford the health care benefits that the state workers are getting. So nobody is nobody has this kind of insurance. None of us in your listening audience actually have this insurance outside of the state employees.
And again, I think it's important, Megan, to say at this point, look, you and I have both said for years, we're not here to bash state employees. We're not. And I keep telling people, if somebody offers you something that's sweet, you'd be a fool not to take it. But
Correct. We
in essence, are their employers. And I know state employees. I have state employees in my family. Yes, I do go on the website and see how much they're making because we employ them. And I think, as you said, because the process is so shrouded in secrecy, we need reporting like yours to just tell people, hey, you may love it, you may hate it, you may be in the middle, but this is what's going on.
And I know this is a very emotional topic, but why should this matter to your listeners? Every dollar that's going to be spent on these already bloated benefits is a dollar that doesn't get invested into special ed, into infrastructure, into any other social program, like nonprofits that have been underfunded for years, the education that they claim is underfunded. So they get put in front of the line, they get put into the budget, and their money is there. It's they're going to get it, and then there's the rest of us. So they're calling it, what did they say it was? Oh, they're saying they're pushing for robust benefits.
Yeah.
You already have robust benefits.
I know.
If anything, we should be having a wage freeze because you're already ahead of the game. They're already threatening to move our fiscal guardrails. And you know what happens with government once you say, okay, you can spend more.
Oh,
they're going to spend more. So something needs to give. And and our elected officials need to look at the whole picture. I mean, we do have issues with special education. It's really underfunded. It's a heavy burden on the municipalities because, you know, they can't generate their own revenue. I mean, they're very limited into what revenue they can generate. It's not like they can come in and jack up our property taxes, 50% to pay for it. And it does need to be paid for because, by law, all students deserve and have a right to an education. So these things need to be funded. It's not like you can't cut from that. Like, these are mandatory fixed costs that the state needs to pay for.
Yeah.
And every dollar that we're putting into the state employees is money that's coming out of other locations. And they need to look at this and they need to stop thinking about, gee, they've been door knocking for me all summer, so we need to take care of them first. No, you need to take care of the most vulnerable in our population first.
Absolutely.
Well, the other thing that they're saying is they need to have better benefits because of their hiring. They're having a hard time attracting employees. I call BS on this because we just saw this in Old Saybrook. They have a hard time hiring police officers. Oh, my God, we need to pay them more money. Well, the first selectman was like, hey, let's take a step back for a second. We're going to do a little study on this to see the real reason why we're having a hard time hiring police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the money. In fact, people were actually leaving the department and taking pay cuts to go to other departments. It was because of the toxic work environment and management in that police department. So no one wanted to stay there. They're like, well, I'm not going to stay here and be abused. I mean, I have a hard enough time with my job dealing with the public.
Yeah.
I don't need to deal with this internally. I'll go take a pay cut somewhere else and have a better quality of life.
Absolutely. Well, folks, she's following this issue for you. Listen, we all know state employees need to be properly compensated with health benefits or with pay, but you need to find out what's going on inside. So read Megan's latest piece. It's just the Hartford Portfolio at the Yankee Institute. Listen, you and your doggie have a good week. I would dial it back a little bit on the energy drink and and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, Paul, have a great week.
Bye. All right, traffic and weather together right here on WICC.